Help DEA keep our communities safe and healthy by participating in National Prescription Drug Takeback Day, Saturday, October 25th. Take action right in your own home by cleaning out your medicine cabinet of unneeded medications. Keep them safe, clean them out, take them back. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeback.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent prescription drug misuse before it starts. That's DEATakeback.com.
Imagine this. What if the wildest, most unbelievable stories of your youth didn't just become funny anecdotes you shared with friends, but actually inspired a Hollywood movie?
Mm-hmm.
Or what if you were crowned the top partier in the entire country, and that notoriety wasn't the peak of your story, but merely the unconventional beginning of an incredible, multifaceted career?
Right.
It sounds like something pulled straight from a screenplay, doesn't it?
It really does. Almost too wild to be true.
Today, we're taking a deep dive into a figure who embodies that exact scenario, and then some. Albert Charles Kreischer Jr., a name many of you know better as Bert Kreischer.
Yeah, Bert.
His journey is a masterclass in turning a larger-than-life persona into a thriving entertainment empire.
Our mission in this deep dive is to really trace that unlikely evolution.
Mm.
We'll explore how a college legend, immortalized in that Rolling Stone article, transformed into a truly multi-hyphenate entertainer.
Not like comedian, podcaster.
Exactly. We're talking about a stand-up comedian with a truly unique stage presence, a prolific podcaster building an entire media company, a reality TV host who quite literally conquers fears, and now even an actor leading his own feature films.
Wow.
We're here to offer you a shortcut to understanding the man behind the machine, pulling back the curtain on the pivotal moments and surprising connections that have defined his ascent.
And our source material for this deep dive is truly comprehensive, giving us a rich tapestry of details covering Kreischer's life and career.
Mm-hmm.
We're tracing his journey from those early days in Florida, through his formative comedic years in New York, all the way to his global reach today.
And you're going to uncover some genuinely surprising facts about his origins.
Yeah.
Dive deep into the distinct comedic style that sets him apart and appreciate the sheer breadth of his media empire.
Okay.
All of this designed to give you that well-informed perspective without the usual information overload that comes with dissecting such a vibrant and active career.
So whether you've been a longtime fan, just caught glimpses of his viral stories on social media, or you're simply curious about how an unconventional, almost accidental path can lead to such massive, undeniable success.
Yeah.
You're about to get the ultimate inside scoop on Bert Kreischer. Get ready, because this is going to be quite the ride.
Buckle up.
Okay, let's unpack this. Before Bert Kreischer was the shirtless storytelling machine, captivating sold-out arenas, he was known as the undergraduate.
Right, that Rolling Stone title.
A title, mind you, not just given by his college buddies, but bestowed upon him by none other than Rolling Stone magazine. And this is where his origin story really takes a fascinating, almost mythological turn.
It really does. It's foundational.
You see, Bert's early life, on the surface, looked remarkably conventional, perhaps even a bit buttoned down compared to the legend he'd become.
Yeah, kind of normal, right?
Totally. He was born Albert Charles Kreischer Jr. on November 3rd, 1972, in St. Petersburg, Florida, and raised in the city of Tampa. His mother worked in early childhood development, a seemingly stable and nurturing profession,
mm-hmm.
while his father built a successful career as a real estate attorney. So you can picture a solid upper-middle-class upbringing, a foundation that seems a world away from the wild antics that would later define his public image.
That conventional background is actually quite striking, isn't it? It sets up a compelling contrast with the wild persona that emerged.
Yeah.
It's almost as if he had a canvas of normalcy against which the vibrant, chaotic colors of the undergraduate could truly pop. It makes you wonder how much of that wildness was always simmering beneath the surface, just waiting for the right environment to explode.
Absolutely. It's a great point. He attended Jesuit High School in Tampa, a private institution known for its rigorous academics and structure.
Okay.
From there, he enrolled at Florida State University, FSU, where he decided to major in English. During his time at FSU, he also joined the Alpha Tau Omega fraternity.
ATO.
Right. Exactly. This all paints a picture of a fairly standard, perhaps even predictable path for a young man from his background in the late 20th century. a typical academic and social life that could have led to a career in law or business or teaching.
Mm-hmm.
But then, as you hinted, something truly extraordinary, or perhaps extraordinarily wild, began brewing at Florida State that would irrevocably alter his trajectory. The stage was set in 1997, a year that would go down in infamy for FSU and, more importantly, for Burt.
That FSU year, 1997, key moment.
And what a stage it was. The phenomenon truly began to solidify during Kreischer's sixth year at the university in 1997.
Sixth year. That detail always gets me.
Right. Now, the fact that he was in his sixth year is a crucial, almost legendary detail in itself. And in the very same year, the Princeton Review famously ranked Florida State University as the number one top party school in the entire United States.
Number one. That's quite the title.
Think about that for a moment and let it sink in. Burt Kreischer, the top partier at the number one party school. It created an undeniable, almost mythical context for his burgeoning legend.
That combination is almost too perfect to be accidental. It's like the universe conspired to create the ideal backdrop for this specific character to emerge.
Yeah.
The timing, the location, his personality, it all converged at a point that truly amplified his story to an almost unbelievable degree. It wasn't just students who liked to party. It was the student at the party school.
Exactly. And it was precisely this environment and his burgeoning reputation within it that caught the attention of Rolling Stone magazine.
Ah, the article.
In that very same year, 1997, they published a seminal 6-page article titled Burt Kreischer, the Undergraduate. This wasn't just a fleeting mention. It was an extensive, in-depth feature that quite literally cemented his public image early on.
6 pages, that's significant.
Hugely. The article unequivocally named him the top partier at the number one party school in the country. To truly grasp the impact of that Rolling Stone piece, you have to imagine the sheer audacity it conveyed. The article didn't just mention heavy drinking and public nudity. It painted a vivid, almost mythological picture of a student living life with an unparalleled, uninhibited gusto.
Yeah, they really leaned into the light.
Oh, totally. One famous passage might have detailed a particular incident where he, perhaps, commandeered a golf cart through the library or spontaneously organized a campus-wide scavenger hunt that ended with, well, let's just say, a lot less clothing than it began.
Oh, my God.
These weren't just descriptions. They were narrative brushstrokes, creating the legend of the undergraduate broadcast to a national audience, cementing an outrageous, larger-than-life persona that would stick with him, for better or worse, for decades to come.
Kreischer's journey from the undergraduate reveals a critical insight. Sometimes, the most potent personal brands aren't meticulously built or strategically marketed.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they're discovered or even accidentally outsourced to media. His Rolling Stone feature and the subsequent Van Wilder connection show how an initially uncontrollable narrative, paradoxically, became the bedrock of his incredibly intentional and successful career.
That's a great point.
It raises a fascinating question about ownership. How much does a person truly own their story once it's captured and amplified by a major publication?
That's such a keen observation. It makes you think about the power of storytelling, doesn't it?
Wow.
What's truly remarkable, almost unbelievable, is how quickly this campus legend transcended the pages of a magazine and landed directly on Hollywood's radar.
Right, the Oliver Stone thing.
Exactly. The impact of that Rolling Stone article was so immediate and profound that none other than acclaimed director Oliver Stone initially optioned the film rights to Kreischer's life.
Oliver Stone.
Can you imagine? Oliver Stone, the director behind critically acclaimed films like Platoon and JFK, seeing movie potential in your college escapades, that truly signifies the instant cultural resonance of his story.
It's absolutely wild.
However, as often happens in Hollywood, the development deal with Oliver Stone eventually fell through.
Yeah, that happens.
When that happened, all the scripts that had been submitted for the project reverted back to their original writers. And here's the surprising twist that connects this even further to pop culture. One of these writers, taking the core of Kreischer's story, simply changed his name and sold the script to National Lampoon.
Ah, so that's how Van Wilder happened.
That's how it happened. This script became the basis for the incredibly popular 2002 film National Lampoon's Van Wilder, starring a then-rising star, Ryan Reynolds.
And that's where the narrative of accidental branding gets even more complex. Burt's experiences, once a Rolling Stone feature, now became a major motion picture, largely outside of his direct control.
Mm.
This transformation from personal story to public property is a powerful illustration of how cultural osmosis works in entertainment. It's a testament to the sheer compelling nature of his persona that it could inspire such a widely recognized film.
It's a wild connection, especially considering Kreischer's own perspective on it. He's often quoted as saying, "I've never seen it. I had nothing to do with it."
Right. He distances himself from it.
Yet, he also shared on Joe Rogan's podcast that executives from National Lampoon themselves eventually confirmed to him that he was indeed the basis for the film. Does that surprise you? To walk away from potentially significant legal action over something so clearly inspired by your own life?
You know, it's a really interesting point, and perhaps speaks volumes about his character and maybe a strategic foresight. While many might jump at the chance for a lawsuit.
Right. Free money, kind of.
Yeah, you'd think. But Burt's choice suggests an acceptance or even a strategic detachment from the legend his early life created. It might also be that the notoriety itself, even without direct financial compensation from that film, was actually a more valuable asset for his future career.
Huh. Like the story was worth more than the lawsuit.
Exactly. The cultural capital he gained from being the guy who inspired Van Wilder might have outweighed any immediate legal settlement. It's a complex interplay between authenticity, public perception, and the commercialization of personal stories that he seems to have navigated with a peculiar wisdom.
So you've inspired a Hollywood movie, you're the top partier in the nation, and your legend is already cemented in popular culture. Where do you even go from there?
Yeah. What's next?
For Burt Kreischer, that unprecedented college legend status became less of a destination and more of a launch pad, leading him directly into the unpredictable, often unforgiving world of stand-up comedy.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't an instant leap from party animal to comedic superstar. It was a deliberate, often gritty ascent.
You had to work for it.
Totally. His very first experience with stand-up comedy was at a bar and nightclub called Potbellies in Tallahassee, Florida.
Back in Tallahassee.
Right. You have to imagine that raw, unfiltered energy of that first set, likely fueled by the same uninhibited spirit that made him the undergraduate.
Probably shirtless from day one.
Huh, maybe. He probably hit the stage with a confidence born from years of entertaining frat parties. But the skill of crafting jokes and holding a room is entirely different. This humble beginning is a stark contrast to the sold-out arenas and Netflix specials he commands today, highlighting just how far he's come.
That initial leap into stand-up is crucial because it shows a willingness to channel that wild, unscripted energy into a creative, disciplined art form.
Good point.
It's one thing to be the life of the party, but to deliberately seek out a stage and try to make strangers laugh repeatedly is an entirely different beast. It speaks to an underlying drive beyond just being noticed.
Absolutely. And a pivotal moment came when a tape of one of his early sets found its way to a talent agent.
Okay, so someone saw the potential.
Yeah. This agent, recognizing something genuinely unique and compelling in Burt's raw delivery, invited him to New York City to watch some stand-up shows. This invitation was the spark, the critical validation that ignited his move to the city and his full commitment to a career in comedy.
The NYC move. Big step.
Huge. Once in New York, he didn't just walk onto a brightly lit stage. He put in the grind. He famously worked the door at the now defunct Boston Comedy Club, a classic rite of passage for many aspiring comedians.
Work at the door, paying dues.
Exactly. This period wasn't glamorous. It was about paying dues, watching every set, absorbing the rhythm of the clubs, and honing his craft in the trenches of the demanding New York comedy scene. It's a testament to his dedication, proving he wasn't just coasting on his Rolling Stone fame.
Right, he had to prove himself as a comic, not just the party guy.
And it didn't take long for significant opportunities to start knocking, even in unexpected places. Within a remarkably short time, just 5 months of moving to New York City to pursue his stand-up career, Will Smith's production company offered Kreischer a deal for a sitcom.
Will Smith? Wow, that's fast.
Isn't it? This highlights an early magnetism that went beyond just his live performances. There was clearly something about his persona that producers immediately saw as marketable for television, a natural, unforced charisma.
Yeah, that X factor.
Definitely. In 2001, he also starred in a television pilot titled Life with David J., which was based on the life of TV producer DJ Nash. These early television ventures show that Hollywood's interest in Burt Kreischer wasn't just a fleeting moment tied to Rolling Stone. It was a continuous recognition of his unique appeal and potential for broader entertainment.
It's remarkable how quickly he garnered attention from established industry players like Will Smith. That doesn't happen just because you're a good stand-up. It happens because you have an undeniable presence, a personality that translates, even if you're still refining your comedic voice.
Yeah.
It shows that he had that inherent star quality from very early on.
He certainly did. And during his time navigating the rigorous New York comedy circuit, he was also deeply immersed in the vibrant open mic scene.
The grind.
He regularly attended open mics hosted by DJ Nash, sharing the stage and developing alongside future comedic powerhouses like Dimitri Martin, Bobby Kelly, and Jim Norton.
Wow, that's quite a group.
Right. This placement within such a talented cohort further underscores the early recognition of his distinct comedic talent and the fertile ground he was sowing for his future success, learning from and riffing with the best of the up-and-coming talent.
You gotta sharpen your skills against the best.
But what truly sets Burt apart, beyond just his early breaks and his raw talent, is his signature style, which has become instantly recognizable globally. Kreischer is famously known for...
Help DEA keep our communities safe and healthy by participating in National Prescription Drug Take Back Day, Saturday, October 25th. Take action right in your own home by cleaning out your medicine cabinet of unneeded medications. Keep them safe, clean them out, take them back. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeBack.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent prescription drug misuse before it starts. That's DEATakeBack.com.
Performing stand-up comedy while shirtless.
The shirtless thing. Iconic.
It really is. This isn't just a gimmick. It's become a significant, almost iconic part of his brand, symbolizing a raw, uninhibited honesty that resonates deeply with his audience. His signature move, performing shirtless, it's so iconic, but also incredibly vulnerable. Do you think that element of raw, almost confrontational honesty was a deliberate choice to stand out, or just a natural extension of his partier persona?
That's a fantastic observation. It's likely a bit of both. Brilliant synergy. On one hand, it's an unforgettable branding move. It screams authenticity and distinguishes him immediately in a crowded field.
Yeah, you won't forget it.
Definitely not. On the other, it perfectly encapsulates that unfiltered, what you see is what you get, attitude that was documented in Rolling Stone. Mm. It creates an intimacy, a shared vulnerability, which makes his often outrageous stories feel even more authentic because he's quite literally bearing it all, both physically and emotionally. Mm. It's a high wire act, but one he's clearly mastered, making vulnerability a strength.
He truly has. And beyond the physical aspect, he's also renowned for his incredible talent for storytelling, a skill that truly sets him apart in the comedy world.
Oh, yeah. The storytelling is key.
His narratives are vivid, detailed, and often uproariously exaggerated, masterfully blurring the lines between fact and legend in the most entertaining way. It's a style that pulls you in, making you feel like you're right there with him, experiencing the chaos.
He paints a picture, doesn't he?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And of all his stories, one stands above the rest, a tale that has almost eclipsed the man himself. The Machine.
The Machine.
Yes. This anecdote is, without a doubt, his most popular and iconic narrative, and it's become a modern legend in its own right. Imagine this. Burt, on a college trip to Russia, innocently enough, finds himself on a train.
Okay, Russia. Train.
The tale goes that he was on a serious bender, completely topless and oblivious, when he inadvertently became the perfect distraction for a group he later realized was the Russian mafia.
Wait, the Russian mafia?
Yep. While he was entertaining the train car with his drunken antics, perhaps leading a sing-along or attempting to teach someone an English phrase with questionable pronunciation, they were systematically robbing everyone else.
No way.
The sheer audacity, the unbelievable coincidence, the accidental nature of it all, combined with his larger-than-life delivery, made this story explode. It's a quintessential Kreischer narrative, blurring the lines between unbelievable truth and comedic embellishment, and it single-handedly launched him into a new stratosphere of notoriety.
It's the ultimate example of how a personal narrative, even one that seems too outlandish to be true, can become a comedic cornerstone. The genius of the Machine story isn't just the content, it's Burt's ability to perfectly craft and deliver it, making millions believe they're witnessing a real, albeit exaggerated, slice of his life. It speaks to a deep understanding of what makes a story resonate and how to harness that into a powerful, repeatable comedic moment.
And the sheer impact and popularity of the Machine story culminated recently with an incredible feat, a movie adaptation.
Movie.
On May 26, 2023, a major feature film titled The Machine was released, starring Kreischer himself playing the role of himself. This transformation of a personal anecdote into a major motion picture is a powerful testament to the enduring appeal and masterful storytelling prowess of Bert Kreischer.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, Bert Kreischer's early career truly illustrates a profound lesson among successful entertainers: the ability to leverage their unique personality and real-life experiences into utterly compelling narratives. He didn't just tell jokes. He crafted elaborate stories that, even if embellished for comedic effect, felt incredibly authentic because they were deeply rooted in his very public identity. This approach allowed him to transition seamlessly from a collegiate partier to a professional comedian, proving that notoriety, when handled skillfully and authentically, can be an invaluable asset.
Yeah, he really owned it.
He did. It also highlights the unpredictable nature of career paths, where a party reputation, documented in a national magazine, can unexpectedly open doors in comedy and film, leading to opportunities like the Will Smith sitcom deal and eventually his own movie.
Right.
His consistency in using his own life as material, often with a shirtless vulnerability, created a distinctive and memorable brand that truly set him apart and built a loyal following.
From his early club days and those initial TV opportunities, Bert's presence didn't just grow, it exploded.
Yeah, he really took off.
He didn't simply stick to stand-up. He expanded across television, streaming platforms, and even into literature, demonstrating a truly remarkable versatility and an innate understanding of how to build a multimedia empire around his distinct brand.
He diversified. Smart move.
Totally. Here's where it gets really compelling, because his career trajectory becomes a blueprint for modern entertainment success.
Okay.
His journey to wider recognition began with early televised comedy appearances, giving him a platform beyond just the clubs. In 2004, he was featured alongside four other comedians on the DVD release National Lampoon Live, New Faces Volume 2.
National Lampoon again, huh?
Right, which was a notable platform for emerging talent at the time, a real stamp of approval. That same year, one of his distinct stories, recognized for its narrative flair, even appeared on an episode of the animated comedy Central series Shorties, Watchin' Shorties.
Animated Bert?
Yeah, showcasing his narrative style in a completely different cartoon format. As his stand-up career gained significant momentum, he became a familiar face on major late-night talk shows, making appearances on The Late Show with David Letterman, Jimmy Kimmel Live, and Conan.
The late-night circuit, yeah.
Yeah.
Big exposure.
Huge. This exposure put him in front of millions of viewers, solidifying his reputation as a unique and hilarious voice. Beyond the traditional late-night circuit, he also showcased a broader appeal by serving as a regular guest on Rachel Ray from 2011 to 2015.
Rachel Ray.
That isn't it. It reached a completely different demographic and truly demonstrated his ability to connect with diverse audiences, proving his charm extended beyond adult-oriented comedy.
What's striking here is his early adaptability. He wasn't just waiting for one door to open. He was finding ways to get his distinctive voice and stories out through animation, late night, and even daytime television.
Mm-hmm.
It speaks to an early recognition of his own unique selling proposition that he himself and his stories were the product, and any medium could amplify that.
And that strategic approach really paid off as the rise of his stand-up specials truly marked his ascent in the comedy world. His first full-length comedy special, Bert Kreischer, Comfortably Dumb, premiered on Comedy Central in 2009.
Comfortably Dumb. Good title.
Right. Giving his growing fan base a dedicated hour of his unique brand of humor. He then returned to Comedy Central in 2015 for the storytelling series, This Is Not Happening, where he famously recounted his experience wrestling a bear.
Oh, the bear story. Classic.
Exactly. This performance, filled with his signature embellishment and physical comedy, further reinforced his reputation as a master storyteller, capable of captivating audiences with unbelievable yet somehow relatable tales. Then came the Showtime special, Bert Kreischer, The Machine, released in 2016.
Centered around the big one.
Yep, which not only shared the title of his most famous anecdote, but also further elevated his profile as a touring comedian, preparing him for an even bigger stage.
Showtime's a good platform, too.
But the real game changer came with his significant partnership with Netflix.
Ah, the Netflix era. That's huge.
It really was. This collaboration has produced an impressive slate of four specials, illustrating his increasing mainstream appeal and prolific output on a global platform. These include Bert Kreischer, Secret Time, filmed in Philadelphia and released in August 2018.
Secret Time, yeah.
Where he delved into themes of family life and the absurdities of growing older. Then came Bert Kreischer, Hey, Big Boy. Filmed in Cleveland and released in March 2020.
Right before things got weird.
Exactly. Capturing the pre-pandemic zeitgeist with his signature bravado. Following that, Burt Kreischer. Razzle Dazzle, filmed in Omaha and released in March 2023.
Razzle Dazzle.
Continued his tradition of deeply personal and hilarious storytelling. And looking ahead, Burt Kreischer, Lucky, filmed in his home state of Tampa, Florida, is slated for release in March 2025.
Yeah, keeping him coming.
This consistent stream of high-quality specials on a global platform like Netflix has irrevocably cemented his status as a major force in comedy, reaching millions worldwide.
The Netflix deal wasn't just about more specials. It was about global distribution and a stamp of mainstream approval that few comedians achieve.
Good point.
It represents a pivot point where his grassroots following exploded into a truly international audience, proving that his unique brand of humor transcended cultural boundaries, likely because of the relatable human experiences woven into his wild tales.
It's incredible to see that trajectory, but Burt's ambition, however, wasn't limited to stand-up stages and specials. He made a successful and very interesting transition into hosting and reality television.
Right, the hosting gig.
Leveraging his charismatic, adventurous personality beyond the comedy club stage. His early hosting gigs included Hurt Burt on FX in 2004, where he put himself in various comedic physical predicaments.
Hurt Burt. Sounds about right.
Huh. And The X Show from 2001 to 2002, also on FX, where he brought his unfiltered personality to a late-night talk format.
Early days.
But a particularly significant role was Burt the Conqueror on the Travel Channel, which ran for multiple seasons from 2010 to 2011 and returned in 2016.
Burt the Conqueror. Yeah, I remember that.
The premise of this show was absolutely fascinating and perfectly suited to his persona. Burt traveled to amusement parks and other entertainment venues across the United States, experiencing thrilling rides and activities.
Lots of screaming involved, I bet.
Oh, yeah. This wasn't just about fun. It often involved him confronting his own very real fear of heights, making for genuinely compelling television.
That vulnerability again.
Exactly. For instance, viewers could watch him white-knuckling it on massive roller coasters, taking on extreme amusement park rides, and engaging in truly audacious activities such as jumping off the Stratosphere Tower in Las Vegas, a terrifying free fall, or even being fired from a human slingshot.
The human slingshot, yeah. Oh man.
This series brilliantly showcased his willingness to embrace vulnerability, confront personal fears, and do truly outrageous things for entertainment, further endearing him to a broader audience who connected with his bravery and his fear. He also hosted another Travel Channel series called Trip Flip from 2012 to 2015, where he surprised travelers with spontaneous, action-packed itineraries. And in 2020, he starred as himself in a 5-episode stint of The Cabin with Burt Kreischer, where he invited comedian friends to his isolated cabin for various shenanigans.
But Burt the Conqueror was a genius move because it showcased his genuine personality and vulnerability in a new context. It wasn't just jokes. It was Burt being Burt, pushing his boundaries and connecting with people on a visceral level through shared experiences of excitement and fear.
Right.
It expanded his audience beyond comedy club goers to anyone who appreciated adventure and a good laugh, proving his persona was versatile enough for any genre.
And it certainly was versatile because, in addition to his extensive on-screen work, Burt has carved out a massive presence in the increasingly influential world of podcasting.
Oh, yeah, the podcast empire.
Proving himself to be a true multimedia impresario. He not only hosts, but also produces several successful podcasts under his Birdie Boy Productions banner, essentially building his own mini-media empire.
Smart. Control your content.
Exactly. These include Burtcast, which launched way back in 2012 and was notably recorded from his custom-built man cave that was featured on the reality TV program Man Caves Talk About Meta.
Man cave.
He also produces and hosts Open Tabs, where he delves into various internet rabbit holes, and the cooking show Something's Burning, where he humorously attempts to cook with fellow comedians, often with chaotic and hilarious results.
Something's Burning is... chaos. Glorious chaos.
Totally. Beyond his solo ventures, he co-hosts the incredibly popular Two Bears, One Cave podcast with fellow comedian Tom Segura.
Two Bears. Huge.
This particular collaboration has garnered a massive, dedicated following, largely due to the unscripted, often outrageous, and deeply authentic dynamic between the two comedians. Their chemistry is undeniable, and their willingness to share absurd personal stories has made it a weekly must-listen for many.
Their dynamic is just gold.
It really is. His deep integration into the podcasting world is further evidenced by his numerous guest appearances on other prominent shows, including WTF with Marc Maron, Doug Benson's Doug Loves Movies, H3 Podcast, Your Mom's House, and the Joe Rogan Experience.
He's everywhere in that world.
He is. This extensive presence highlights his consistent ability to connect with audiences through long-form conversational content, where his storytelling prowess truly shines.
This extensive output in stand-up, TV, and digital media underscores a significant shift in the entertainment landscape. Bert Kreischer hasn't just adapted to new platforms, he's absolutely thrived on them, leveraging his distinct persona to build multiple successful franchises.
Mm-hmm.
What's fascinating here is how his brand consistency, the shirtless, storytelling, perpetual man-child persona, has remained incredibly appealing and effective across such varied formats. From a Travel Channel show where he conquers fears, to a cooking show, to deep dive podcasts, he manages to be authentically Bert.
Always Bert.
Always Bert. This raises an important question. What unique qualities allow some entertainers to successfully cross over into so many different forms of media? And how does the consistency of that authentic brand play a critical role in maintaining audience connection and building a truly diversified career in today's fragmented entertainment ecosystem?
That's the key question, isn't it?
It is. His ability to share deeply personal, sometimes outrageous, stories, whether in stand-up or in a memoir, seems to be a key part of that enduring connection.
It really is. That consistency is key. And not content with just performing, hosting, and podcasting, Bert Kreischer also added published author to his impressive resume.
Right, the book.
In 2014, he released his book, Life of the Party, Stories of a Perpetual Man-Child, published by St. Martin's Press. This 256-page memoir allowed him to delve even deeper into the personal anecdotes and experiences that fuel his comedy, offering a more introspective, detailed look at the man behind the machine, expanding his creative output beyond performance alone.
Putting it all down on paper.
And finally, his filmography continues to grow far beyond the initial accidental inspiration for Van Wilder. His actual feature film debut, where he starred as himself, was fittingly The Machine in 2023.
Bringing it full circle.
Totally. Bringing his most famous story to the big screen with an action comedy twist. More recently, he made an appearance as a roaster alongside Tom Segura at the Roast of Tom Brady in 2024.
The Brady Roast, yeah.
Demonstrating his continued relevance in live entertainment and his ability to engage with major cultural events, proving he's still a sought-after presence in primetime events. For someone whose entire public persona began with public nudity and party hijinks documented in Rolling Stone, you might understandably wonder about the person behind the persona, the family man.
Yeah, the contrast is huge.
So what does this all mean for understanding Bert Kreischer beyond The Machine and The Undergraduate? How does that wild public image square with his personal life?
It's an essential question because it adds so much depth to his brand. Despite the wild stories and the shirtless antics, Bert Kreischer has built a remarkably firmly grounded personal life, which I think surprises many.
Really?
Yeah. He married Leanne Kreischer in December 2003, providing a steady, anchoring presence to his often unconventional and chaotic career.
Leanne, yeah, she's on his podcast sometimes, right?
Exactly. Together, they have two daughters, and their family life has become a significant and often incredibly endearing part of his public persona.
That's fascinating. Tell us a bit more about his family life.
Certainly. Their first child, Georgia Mae Kreischer, was born on June 8, 2004. There's a poignant anecdote associated with her birth that perfectly encapsulates the dedication, perhaps the madness, of a comedian's life. Just 3 days after Georgia Mae was born, Bert was back on the road doing comedy.
3 days. Wow.
Yeah. He's always been incredibly open about how much he credits his wife, Leanne, for taking care of Georgia while he was away. This offers a crucial glimpse into the sacrifices and the vital support system that has allowed him to pursue such an incredibly demanding career.
That's intense.
It really is. It also highlights the reality that behind every successful entertainer, there are often unsung heroes making it all possible.
I can only imagine the look on Leanne's face during those early days. That kind of support is invaluable. And they had a second daughter as well, didn't they?
Yes, their second daughter, Isla Grace Kreischer, was born on July 18th, 2006. Bert has openly shared that Isla has dyslexia, and he's observed that she has a unique way of thinking and responding to people.
Aww.
These personal details offer a touching, humanizing insight into his family life, showcasing a different side to the boisterous comedian. It's not just about the party stories. It's about the everyday challenges and joys of being a parent, which deepens his relatability for many audience members who are also navigating similar family dynamics.
This brings us to a really interesting point of connection and contrast that I think makes his brand so strong. There's a clear difference between his partier and machine public persona, the wild, uninhibited comedian, and his role as a dedicated husband and father.
Mm-hmm. The two Berts.
Right. Yet it's precisely his ability to share vulnerable and deeply personal stories, including those about his family, within his comedy and podcasts that contributes so significantly to his broad appeal and the perceived authenticity of his brand.
That authenticity factor again.
Totally. He doesn't just present a curated, one-dimensional image. He invites his audience into his evolving life, including the challenges and joys of being a family man.
It's true. The balance Bert Kreischer strikes between his often outrageous public persona and the grounded realities of his personal life is truly fascinating. It speaks volumes about the shifting expectations audiences have for celebrities, particularly in the age of social media and podcasts, where transparency and authenticity are highly valued.
Yeah, people want the real deal.
They do. He manages to be both the machine and a present, albeit touring family man. This fusion creates a unique resonance. His audience feels like they're growing with him.
And that evolution is fascinating, isn't it? His life experiences, from the legendary college days that launched his career to navigating fatherhood and marriage, undoubtedly inform the observational comedy and the rich storytelling that defines his work today.
Absolutely. His material evolves with his life.
It's a testament to how an artist can grow and mature, allowing those experiences to enrich their craft while still maintaining the core elements of what made them famous. It's almost like the persona evolved with the man, creating a continuous, compelling narrative.
Exactly. This raises an important question for any public figure. In an era of increasing transparency, how does an artist effectively integrate personal revelations, especially those as intimate as family life, into their brand without diluting the humor or mystique that initially drew people in?
That's the tightrope, isn't it?
It is. Bert seems to have mastered this by presenting these stories not as weaknesses, but as integral parts of his larger evolving narrative, making his audience feel like they're part of his ongoing journey rather than just observing from a distance. It adds a layer of genuine connection that's incredibly hard to fake.
Mm.
Outro.
Today, we've taken a truly comprehensive deep dive into the incredible, almost unbelievable journey of Bert Kreischer.
I'm a ride.
Right. From being dubbed the top partier whose legend inspired a Hollywood movie, to becoming a shirtless stand-up icon with multiple Netflix specials, a prolific podcaster building his own media company, and ultimately, a dedicated family man whose personal life enriches his art. It's truly a unique path, paved with audacity and authenticity.
We've seen how pivotal early notoriety, even if accidental, can become a launchpad for an entire career. We've explored how a distinct comedic voice and a genuine willingness to share deeply personal narratives, from wild college antics to the quiet challenges of family life, can resonate across multiple platforms. Mm. Ultimately, Bert Kreischer's story highlights how a consistent, authentic persona, allowed to evolve and mature, can build a lasting and incredibly varied career in entertainment. His journey truly underscores the power of owning one's narrative, even when that narrative has the wildest, most unexpected origins.
So as you go about your day, consider this. How much of who we become is truly shaped by the stories others tell about us, especially in those formative years, versus the stories we deliberately choose to tell ourselves and the world?
That's a deep one.
Yeah. And perhaps more profoundly, how can truly embracing our own unique, even wild narratives, the ones that are undeniably ours, be the key to carving out our own extraordinary, undeniable path, no matter how unconventional it may seem?
It's a question that challenges us to reflect on our own origin stories and the immense potential for unexpected transformations that lie within us, much like Bert Kreischer's own incredible journey from the undergraduate to a genuine entertainment machine.
Yeah.
Think about the narratives in your own life that you might be overlooking. Perhaps they hold the seeds of your next big adventure.